Blog Talk Radio.
Australia Radio Show with your host, Mike Holt. Good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for joining me on the Restore Australia Radio Show. Our enemies are legion. While Europe is collapsing, America is imploding, Russia is taking over its major role in Syria, we have our own problems here in Australia. The socialists are attacking us. The government has ordered the police to shut down all Patriot sites if they can. And I am still locked out of my Facebook pages. In the last 2 weeks, I have lost 5 Facebook accounts. And I'm still fighting Facebook right now to try and get one of them back. I really want to get back Michael Thomas Holt, because that is my major page, and I have a lot of friends on that page. So if you've missed me, don't worry, I'm working on it. Facebook is being rather accommodating, shall we say, and I hope to be back online very soon. On another front, early this year, the Heritage Bank closed down our bank account because they claimed that our activities, our political activities, don't accord with their so-called community standards. In their letter to us, they said that they showed their community standards on their website, but of course we couldn't find them. So we were forced to go to another bank, which will remain unnamed, because we don't want to have this account closed down as well. Now, last week, I prepared a complaint to the Anti-Discrimination Commission against the bank for stopping our freedom of speech. They have discriminated against us, and yet the anti-discrimination laws clearly state that no person or entity can discriminate based on political opinions. And that is exactly what the Heritage Bank did. I'm glad to say that the Anti-Discrimination Commission has accepted our complaint against the bank, the Heritage Bank. Should I call it the Heretic Bank or the Islamic Bank of Heritage? No matter what we call it, they have proved that they are traitors to Australian values. They don't believe in freedom of speech. Now, the Bank of Bendigo did the same thing to the Patriots down there. So I'm encouraging them to submit a anti-discrimination complaint as well. We must start fighting back against these people who would limit our freedoms. It's not right. Let's listen to a song now by Papa John Creech. Papa John Creech is a fiddle player. He used to play with Jefferson Airplane, if you're old enough to remember that. A beautiful fiddle player. John Creech. I'd like you all to do something a little bit different for a radio show today. Would you like to close your eyes and listen to some ideas for the vision of our future? Now, I've decided to stand for the Senate, and my platform will be citizens-initiated referendums. Many people have tried before, and I know that one politician is actually submitting a bill in this week or so to amend Section 128 of our Constitution to bring in citizens-initiated referendums. I hope he wins. I hope he does get it through. And I support him 100%. But if he doesn't, I hope to be elected to the Senate, and I will do the same thing. I will submit a bill to amend the Constitution to put the power into the hands of all Australian voters. But we can vote in referendums already, you might say. Yes, we can, but we can't start one. So citizens-initiated referendums means that we would have the right to initiate or start a referendum. And with that power in our hands, we could finally take control of our government. What would this mean? Well, first of all, imagine this. Hope your eyes are closed. We could amend the Constitution so that we can change our electoral boundaries. Most of the electorates these days are about 100,000 people. That's an awful lot of voters to meet for any candidate. It's impossible. We propose at Restore Australia that we change the electoral boundaries to make smaller electorates of only 5,000 voters. And each electorate of 5,000 would send one representative chosen from among themselves, civilians, not career politicians, to attend and represent them in a regional government. So you would have 50 electorates per region. Now each regional government would elect one person from the representatives to go to federal parliament to represent that region. We figure there would be about 100 regions in Australia based on current populations. So we would end up with a much smaller and certainly more representative government. Now the beauty of this system is if we elect somebody and they do not do their job in parliament, we could recall them and elect a new person. We don't have to have big elections. We can have a local election to vote in or out one representative. Now, one of the biggest problems with our electoral system is we have a big bang election every 3 years. This costs an enormous amount of money. It's a waste of resources. And we're still using pencils and paper on the ballot paper. This is ridiculous. First of all, pencil marks are easily changed. We propose bringing in electronic voting. We have our mobile phones these days. Why aren't we using them? It's quite simple to build in strong security, encryption, etc. And each person, when they log in, would have to give three forms of identification: a password, a voting registration number, and driver's license. And the system could be built to detect any duplicate entries. So if I try to log in, I find somebody else is already using my login details, the system would catch this, and I would be required to go down to the local electoral office and present my credentials in person to an electoral officer. Not hard to do, and very, very secure. What would a regional government do? Well, like the local councils today that are acting basically illegally, because they are not the third tier of government, a regional government would be elected properly by we the people. And it would maintain all the services for that region, hospitals, roads, water, sewage, etc., just as a local council does today. Imagine that. And each region would provide exactly the same services, and they would be seamless. So you could go from Brisbane to Perth and still expect the same level of services. No problem there at all. The next step would be for us to vote in a referendum on whether we would like to bring in compulsory service to the nation. And you would have a choice, if it is passed, to either give military service or civil service. And civil service would entail things like driving ambulances or joining the fire brigade or the CEC, whatever it is, the country fire services, etc., to give service to our nation. And all Australian citizens would be required to give a minimum of 3 months military service, unless you are physically incapable, to be trained in arms, and then you would be able to protect our nation from invasion. Part of the bill to amend our constitution to bring this in would stipulate, first of all, that our military would be purely defensive. We would not send our troops overseas without a referendum to ask all of the voters if they want to send our troops. And we would only do that if we felt that it would help protect our borders from an invasion or attack. We would not do it because some other country demands that we go because they have ambitions for getting hold of oil or whatever. Our military would stay in Australia to defend our borders. And of course, by bringing in compulsory military service, every Australian would be armed and trained. You might say, oh yes, but what do we do with those guns? You take them home. You keep them stored ready for use in a proper locked safe, but armed with bullets in the hole, so that if somebody starts to invade our country, you are immediately ready to defend our nation. What would be the benefit of this? Well, another part of the bill would be that we mandate within 5 years or 7 years or 2 years, whatever, it depends on the people, that all equipment supplied to the military and to the civilian services is manufactured exclusively in Australia. Can you imagine the jump start that would give our economy? Now, we'd have to couple that with banking reform, because the banks right now are locked into the international banking system, the central banking system, and that, of course, is not working. Back in 1928, Sir Otto Niemeyer came over from the Bank of England and basically stole our Commonwealth Bank. When he did that, he stole all the money that the ordinary Australians had been saving up in the Commonwealth Bank. It was their bank. It was the people's bank. We need to bring that back. And that people's bank, we could call it whatever we like. I'd like to call it, say, the central bank, would control our money supply with the authorization of the federal parliament. Therefore, with other things like tariffs on imports, to control the amount of foreign goods coming into our country, we could start to rebuild our manufacturing and farming sectors again. And we would set the value of our dollar against all other world values, currency values, because it would be our money, not owned by the international banksters. And therefore, any money needed to develop our infrastructure or manufacturing or farming or whatever could be loaned at very favourable rates from the central bank either to individual companies or to the banks. Now, if the banks want to borrow money from the central bank, and that would be the only way they could create money, no more of this fiat money creating debt, we need to get rid of that. And if we did this, we would set a fixed interest rate. So the banks would borrow from the central bank at, say, 3% and on-lend to the people, to borrowers, at 2%. So if you were buying a home and you take out a home loan, you would know that your interest rate will never change. It will be 5%. Sorry. As for taxation, we don't need to pay income tax and everything else to pay for this. We don't need GST. We need one tax, a debit tax, which would be administered and managed by the banks themselves. So every banking transaction would have a tax of it of 0.01%. Now, this could change. It depends on factors at the time, but it would be subject to approval by we the people, not the banks and not the government. So that 0.01% tax on every banking transaction would generate billions of dollars, enough money for the government to run this country properly. Now, with a system like this in place, there would be no unemployed. Everybody would be employed, one way or the other. We would have plenty of people available to do infrastructure projects like building roads, diverting floodwaters to places where they need water. Now, every year, the North gets billions of tons of water dumped on it, and most of that flows away into the ocean. We could divert that water into rivers and channels, even canals especially built to divert the water, with small dams to help maintain water on various areas. And we could divert that to areas where we could develop our agriculture again. Mining, we the people would own all the ores and everything else in the ground, not the government. They don't own it anyway, they just dictate how it's used. And we'd have to change the laws, of course, to stop the mining companies just walking onto a farmer's land and destroying it to get the minerals and stuff like out of the ground. That's wrong. I hope by now that you actually have opened your eyes, because I'm hoping that you are surprised by all this, but also heartened. We can do this. We are Australians. It's up to us to make the change. I'd like to play a song now by Jihad Jane called Suicide Song.
No one believes me. They all hate me because of a few million bad apples. Oh, Mother was right. The American dream is just that for the people of Muslim heritage. An unattainable dream.
I had wanted all that I wanted was to live the American dream. Instead, I'm picking hairs from a chicken that some would have dropped in the latrine. Maybe it is the blues, but more likely the Jews that have caused my anxiety. No pros and concessions can treat my condition. There's only one solution to my misery.
S-U-I-C-I-E.
Goodbye, cruel world, this is a minute.
fun, wasn't it? I'd like to talk now about the jihad, anti-jihad movement. There are a lot of good people in Australia who love our country and who want to stand up for it. Unfortunately, there are some traitors to our Australian values as well, the socialists, the left, the ALP, and these people are actively opposing what we are doing, and yet I don't think they really understand what we stand for. They continue to call us names, racist, bigots. Well, first of all, calling us racist is just plain stupid. What race is Islam? You can ask any Muslim where he comes from, and he'll tell you from a range of countries, from Africa, Middle East, Asia, Europe, Australia even. There are homegrown Muslims, people who are born here and have been here for generations. Not all of them, of course, are terrorists, but the potential is there. Because the Quran clearly tells all Muslims that they must fight the infidel who refuses to convert to Islam, and if we refuse, we must either be slaughtered or we must submit and pay a jizya tax, which is about 50% of our income. I don't know about you, but I find that abhorrent, and I will never ever bow to Islam. But we must also keep in mind that there are some good Muslims who are locked into Islam because Islam also mandates death for anyone who leaves Islam. They call them apostates. But if we get citizens-initiated referendums, we could amend our laws to, first of all, perhaps change the designation of the Quran, and because it is a terrorist training manual, let's declare it that and ban it. Or we could just ban Islam completely, and we could even deport all Muslims except those who declare they want to live in Australia under Australian laws, so they must leave Islam if they want to live here as Australian citizens, because the Quran and the Hadiths make it impossible to live as a genuine Australian citizen, because Sharia law must come first. And our Constitution clearly states that there is only one law in our nation, that is the Constitution and all laws created under that constitution. There is no place for Sharia law, a separate legal system, in Australia. So either they leave Islam or they must leave Australia. I would like to see all of our Australian Muslims who have been here perhaps for decades or generations, who have fitted into our nation, be able to leave Islam without any fear of being killed and become true Australians. As I said, not all Muslims are bad. They've just been locked into a system that they can't get out of, and it's sad to see. No other religion does this. What would happen if we did that? Well, of course, the Muslims are going to get up in arms, but if we seal our borders and do not allow any Islamic immigration, if we have a strong national defense force, if we have armed civilians, all trained in defense, ready to defend our borders at any time, we would not have to fear an invasion by Islam. Any boat people coming into this country trying to evade our immigration laws could just as easily be turned around and sent back to where they came from. And we would discourage them from coming because it is dangerous. And thousands of people have died on the seas trying to get from their countries to the West. It's disgusting. And it looks like it's a cynical attempt to invade our countries through population. And yet our stupid leaders cannot see this. It's obvious to you, me, and everybody else. So come on, people. Let's get behind this idea of bringing in citizens-initiated referendums. Let's provide a more humane way for Islam, for Muslims to leave Islam and become true Australian citizens. And those who don't want to, those who want to live under Sharia law, they're welcome to, but just not in Australia. If you want to be an Islamic, go away. Don't come to Australia or don't stay here. We'll happily send you back to where you came from. If you were born here, but you still want to be an Islamist, fine. We could always just put you in jail. Out in the middle of the desert somewhere, where you'll be fed and clothed and you'll live out there until you see the error of your ways or you decide you want to leave Australia. Either way, we don't care. We are not going to allow more innocent people to be killed, like those who were killed in the Lynch siege and that police worker who was slaughtered by that 15-year-old. Luckily, the police now are tracking down those who supported that 15-year-old, and we're hoping to see arrests very shortly. And our judiciary had better not release them due to cultural differences. Our judiciary are just as culpable as anyone else who appeases Islam if they let these people go. Muslim rapists are being released because it's their culture. I say, no way. You rape an Australian girl, you pay the price under our Australian law. Go to jail, stay there, do your time, and then we will deport you. I think it's time now for Mighty Moses.
Allahu Akbar,
Mighty Mo. Life has returned to what passes for normal in Mighty Mo's tent. Foster, Bluey, and Anorexic have departed. Mighty Mo is reclining on his couch, eating dates and playing a sexy game with 9-year-old Aisha. Life couldn't be better. Or could it? Ah, Osama bin Laina. What brings you to my tent?
Oh, great and fearless leader, I bear great tidings. You asked me to tell you if any chance came along for us to plunder great riches. I have spied a caravan filled with a vast treasure heading towards Mecca. How far away is it? It is but 2 hours' ride from here, and only one day away from Mecca. Summon our men, Osama. Tell them to assemble outside my tent, armed and ready for battle. To hear is to obey, O Mighty One. I go without. You go without what? I meant, I shall leave your tent, O wondrous seer. Without. Outside. Oh, silly me. Oh. Let's listen to some music, listeners, while we wait for the army to assemble. I have great news. A rich caravan has been spotted but 2 hours from here. It's time for us to get rich. Men, I have even better news. A Allah has spoken to me and promised us a great victory today.
Yes!
Furthermore, he has made a wonderful promise that will last for all time. Any follower of Allah who dies in jihad will be rewarded with 52 virgins in paradise.
Yes!
Only 52?
What?
I mean, 52 virgins is not much reward for dying in the service of Allah, is it? Can't you ask him for more?
Wait. I hear the voice of Allah again.
Don't worry, listeners. Mighty Mo will hear the following revelation from Allah. It's very convenient how he always hears these revelations when most needed.
Mighty Mo, that man is right. 52 virgins is not enough to keep a man happy. I hereby decree that any jihadi martyr will be rewarded with 72 virgins in paradise, and they will be perpetual virgins. For every morning, I shall repair their hymen.
That is wonderful news, O love of my life, illustrious Allah. But tell me, what happens after we have had sex with these 72 virgins?
Who said you could have sex? I said you could have 72 virgins. I did not say what these virgins will be, but just for your ears, they will be virgin goats. You would not have sex with them, surely.
I see, my fantastic lord and master. Verily, you are so sneaky. So I tell my men that they need not fear death, because they will be rewarded with 72 virgins in paradise. But we don't have to tell them what those virgins will be.
That is right. Remember that Allah is the best of deceivers. Wamakaru, Wamakara, Allahu Wahalahu, Karu.
Verily, it is true, O great deceiver. It shall be written that no Muslim may tell a lie, unless it is in the service of Islam. And I shall call it Takiya. Allah has revealed to me that he will reward 72 virgins to any martyr who dies in battle for him.
Yes!
All praise Allah, Al-Aziz, the Mighty One, Al-Kahar, the Subduer, for he is truly Al-Karim, the Generous One. Now, let's mount our camels and ride to victory and riches. Oi! Ali, Ali, when I said mount our camels, that's not what I meant. Come, men, ride with me. And if we should die, we shall meet in paradise.
Well, listeners, it sounds like Mighty Mo has come up with a winner. He has inspired his men to face battle fearlessly, knowing that if they are victorious, they will become rich. And if they are killed in battle, they will go to paradise where 72 virgins await them. What cunning devils Allah and Mighty Mo are, eh? But what Mighty Mo doesn't know is that the Meccans have got wind of his plans, and a mighty army is rushing out towards the caravan to stop him. What will happen when he meets them? Tune in next week to hear more adventures of Mighty Mo! As always, Mighty Mo has something funny to say. Just one last word before we close down the show for this week. And this is a message to our patriots who believe that they should be acting on their own. When I got into this movement about 5 years ago, there were a lot of groups around, all separate and all seemed to be dedicated to promoting their own cause without regard for all the other groups. That has slowly changed over the years, and most of the group leaders now are talking to each other. We're still separate groups, but we are starting to coordinate our activities. We're becoming more friendly. And this is a good thing, because united, we present a much more powerful force to the forces of evil. But there is one group, or perhaps two, that are causing a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache, and they are doing the cause absolutely no good. That is the Australian Defence League, led by, I guess, Ralph Sermonara. He was the one who started it. And the UPF, led by Sherman, the great Aussie patriot. Right. I don't know if you've noticed, when Sherman starts something, he always adjusts the camera, making sure that we can see his big He-Man tat, lights a cigarette, and then talks. This shows to me a very distinct lack of self-confidence. I'd say he's a little boy masquerading in muscles. But they have their uses. The UPF is composed of young, strong men with martial arts skills, and they could be put to good use. But they have been acting unilaterally, going down to Bendigo in the last week, causing trouble. We were very lucky in Bendigo that the patriots of Bendigo, and that most of them were from Bendigo, outnumbered the socialists. In fact, so much so that the socialists, because they couldn't get near the patriots, got disheartened and went home. And this is how it should be. If the socialists want to have a demonstration, first of all, let them find a cause worth fighting for. Fighting against fellow Australians is not the way to go. And let me say this to you socialists. You are Australians too, at least I hope you are. And that being so, why are you fighting people who are standing up for Australian values? Why are you calling us racists and bigots? You don't even know what the word means. We are standing up for all races, and we are standing up for freedom. If you don't like that, what the hell are you doing living in Australia? Go live in a socialist paradise, perhaps North Korea or Cuba. I don't think you'd even like Cuba, because they're becoming more free from their socialist roots. Perhaps China would accept you. But if you don't subscribe to Australian values and Australian laws, and you obviously don't obey our laws, judging by the violent and nasty tactics that you use at these so-called rallies, then get the hell out of Australia. You're not true Australians. We want people here who love our nation, who respect our laws, and who want to add to the general wealth and happiness of our nation, and to make it a better country for our descendants. Restore Australia and Reclaim Australia is composed of ordinary Australians. Dads, mums, grandpas, grandmas, kids even. We're just ordinary Aussies. We're not socialists. We may support one party or the other, but we are all Australians. So my message is to the UPF and ADL, either start talking to the leaders of other groups and stop causing trouble and dissension and talking behind people's backs and trying to divide the movement, or shut up and get out. You're causing more trouble than you're worth. Doesn't mean we don't want you around, but we do want you in our movement, united with us and working with us. You want to go and do a rally somewhere? Fine. But talk to the group leaders and let's coordinate it. And when you do go to a rally with other groups, don't go looking for trouble. Be there to protect your fellow patriots. And if the socialists attack, then you guys can go out there and defend us. But don't go looking for trouble. You just make everybody look bad. That's all I have to say on the subject. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and I look forward to seeing you next Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Australia. That is Eastern Standard Time, Queensland. In New South Wales and Victoria, and you've got daylight savings, so you'll be listening in at 9 a.m. Thank you. Bye for now.
This is the Restore Australia Radio Show with your host, Mike Holt, signing off. Until next time, here's a message to Islam. You can try to deny us our freedoms and our rights. You can try to impose your idiotic ideology on us, but you never will, because we believe in freedom, and we will fight you to your death.